Hey there, this is Jess Sherman. I'm the author of Raising Resilience and the chief coach of the Resilience Roadmap. Welcome to this short training on what fats to use when you feed your kids. Now, in the Raising Resilience community, we're all about using nutrition and natural strategies to raise the most resilient, healthy kids we can. We're learning about how to help our kids have more stable moods and meet expectations and rebound efficiently from illness, how to help them respond appropriately to stress. We want to raise kids who feel good, who feel strong and capable and healthy, regardless of whatever diagnosis they may have. We know that when they feel good, they function their best. So we're learning to take steps to help them feel their best. Now, in this short training, I've taken content right from our Resilience Roadmap coaching program specific to the questions of what dietary fats are best for children. I get a lot of questions about fats. Now, in the program, we go much deeper into, you know, why fat's important and how to support its digestion and creative ways to get it in, especially if you have a picky eater and foods to find in it and all that. But what we're going to go into here are the basics so that you know what types of fats to stock your kitchen with, which fats to use and for what, how to store them, how much to use, and what to avoid. Now, we're going to keep it general because, of course, I don't know your child. I don't know exactly what they need, but there are some general broad strokes, the basics of what I want every parent to know about fat. Now, the important thing to realize, this is kind of astounding when you think about it, but fat is a component to every single cell in the body. So just think about for a sec what that means. The cell is the foundation of everything. We have blood cells, we have immune cells, we have muscle cells. Cells work together to build tissue, and tissues work together to build organs. Organs work together to build systems, and systems are usually what we think about most when we talk about function, right? We talk about boosting the immune system, or exercising the muscular system, or flushing the digestive system, right? But at the foundation of all these systems are cells, and fat is a component of every single one of them. The brain is 60% fat. The heart muscle is nourished by fat. Without fat, we can't absorb some vitamins, specifically the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. And those are in turn essential for proper eyes and eye function and growth and immune function and digestive health and so much more. Fats are involved also in the production of hormones. So things like estrogen and testosterone and cortisol and adrenaline, these are hormones. They're chemical messengers that affect how we respond to stress. That irritability right before your period, that's often hormones. That the moody teen, that's often hormones. The overblown response to a little issue, that's often hormones. So this is the effect of hormones, and those hormones require fats. So if you don't have enough healthy fats in your body, your hormone balance is probably going to be a little bit messed up. Hormones affect our mood, but they also affect our skin. Acne, for example, is often hormone related. Fertility and sex drive, hormone related. How we metabolize sugar and why we crave sugar, that's often hormone related. Of course, our weight, our weight loss, our weight gain, our weight stability, also hormone related. So pretty much everything has some sort of connection with hormones, which has a connection to fat. For kids though, they are in a rapid state of growth, and that requires cellular replication, right? Especially if they're going into puberty, during which they have that added hormone production that's ramped up, right? It's important to make sure that our kids are getting enough fat and that they're digesting it well so that their bodies function their best. So here's the number one pitfall that I see parents fall into when it comes to fat. You ready for this? The number one pitfall is relying on one type of fat for everything, right? Using avocado oil for everything, or coconut oil for everything, or olive oil for everything. These are healthy fats, but your child needs all the fatty acids, a broad spectrum of fatty acids, and there are different types. So I recommend stocking your kitchen with a variety of oils, a small variety. You don't have to get every single one of them. We're going to keep it simple. I'm going to lay out for you what I use in my kitchen, but a variety of oils and rotating through them to make sure that your kids are getting the broad spectrum of fatty acids that their body needs. So there are three types to consider. There's saturated fat, there's monounsaturated fat, and there's polyunsaturated fat. Okay, so let's just break it down a little bit and talk about which ones to use and for what of those three types. So for higher heat cooking and baking, my preference is to use a fat that is high in saturated fat. You can usually tell that a fat is predominantly saturated if it's solid at room temperature, right? So this is like coconut oil, this is butter if it's tolerated, this is ghee. Red palm oil is another. Now, red palm oil is different from palm kernel oil that is used in processed foods. That's that you want to stay away from. But unrefined red palm oil has this deep orange color. It's got a beautiful buttery taste, and it's a very healthy oil. So these are the ones that I like to use for higher heat cooking, like sauteing or frying. I don't do a lot of frying, but sauteing and baking. They've got a wonderful flavor and they're going to bring in sufficient fatty acids, saturated fatty acids. You can also, in this category, use avocado oil, sunflower seed oil, rice bran oil, and olive oil. We're going to talk about that in a second. My preference of all of those is avocado oil. These are going to be higher in mono and polyunsaturated fats, but they're deemed safe for cooking because their smoke point is high enough. So there is some confusion around whether something like avocado oil or olive oil, even though it's not a saturated fat, can you use it for cooking? The answer is you can, but I prefer to use the saturated fatty acids because A, our kids need them, B, they taste delicious, and C, they're more stable when they're put under heat. So, but I do use a little bit of avocado oil to cook with. I'll get to olive oil in a second. I don't typically cook with it, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. For drizzling on top of foods, I use the fats that are predominantly monounsaturated and polyunsaturated. So this is where I put olive oil. You can also use some sesame oil, flax oil, and walnut oil. Now, olive oil and sesame oils, let's talk about that because these are the ones that are typically heated, but I don't usually heat them, and this is why. You can heat them because they have a higher smoke point, but they're very healthy oils, and part of why they're healthy is because they're high in something called polyphenols and antioxidants. Both of these, polyphenols and antioxidants, are destabilized by heat. So I like to keep these oils in their raw form to ensure that all the nutrients in them remain intact. They may remain intact when you cook them, they may not. It's really gonna depend on what you're cooking and how and the heat and all of this. But what we do know is that you will get the most nutrition out of these oils if you use them in their raw state. So that's why I mostly choose to use them for drizzling on top of foods in dressings, for example, or sometimes I just add it on top at the end to a soup or to a dish to add more nutrition and add more flavor. When it comes to flax and walnut oils, you should not heat those because you will destroy the wonderful polyunsaturated fats that they contain. So again, use those to just drizzle on top or put into smoothies to add flavor or what have you, but use them raw. MCT oil is another one we should talk about. MCT is an acronym, or it's a short form. It stands for medium chain triglycerides, and it's extracted from coconut oil. Now, MCT is unique because it's a saturated fat, but it's a liquid oil. Remember, I said you can usually recognize saturated fat because they're solid at room temperature? Well, MCT is an exception. It's water soluble because it contains a different type of fatty acid than, say, butter. It's a medium chain triglyceride. So So MCT is a really handy oil for your kids because it's much easier to digest than other saturated fats. We'll get to digestion a little bit later. But I will say now, most saturated fats require, well, most fats require bile. The liver makes the bile and then the gallbladder releases it when it's needed, and require pancreatic enzymes for digestion. So these enzymes that come from the pancreas and that help to pull apart the fat. Most fats require bile and pancreatic enzymes for digestion. MCT oil does not. It's absorbed directly into circulation through passive diffusion along the gastrointestinal tract. So, and it can get into our cells more easily, where it can be transformed into energy. So all that to say, MCT is a great option for kids, especially if they have digestive pain or they're constipated, or they have mitochondria issues, and you would only know that if you did some testing with your doctor. But kids who have low energy, who have insulin sensitivity, it's a great form of energy for them without the need for carbohydrates. But MCT has a low smoke point though, so don't cook with it. Just drizzle it on top of foods and use it in smoothies. Now, a little bit note on supplements. Fish oil, algae oil, or cod liver oil are going to offer polyunsaturated fatty acids, particularly the omega-3 type of polyunsaturated fatty acids. And that's the type that has been shown to be anti-inflammatory and also often deficient in our diet. So depending on your diet, on your child's diet and your child's body and your child's needs, you might want to use fish oil or an algae oil or a cod liver oil to get sufficient omega-3 fatty acids into them. The amount you're going to need, of course, is going to depend on your child's body. So this is where you might want to get some professional advice. Now, how much fat does your child need? I am not one to harp on numbers. That's not my strength, and it's not particularly practical for parents, unless there's a medical need to really calculate out the numbers. But for most of us, I don't think it's practical to start counting grams and calories. But you do need a general guideline. So let's go over a general guideline for how much fat your child should be having. As I said, the body needs all three types of fatty acids: saturated, monounsaturated, and polyunsaturated. And together, those fatty acids should make up about 30% of your child's calories. So I'm all about getting practical. So what does that look like? Obviously, it's going to depend on how many calories your child eats, right? As to what 30% is. In general, I suggest working towards including a moderate amount of foods that contain good quality fat. So that's things like grass-fed meat, avocados, nuts, seeds, eggs. Those are all going to contain some fats. And then also aiming at getting about 3 to 5 tablespoons of the fats that we've talked about here in every day. And this is not including supplements. Supplements, I don't count in this 30% because that's usually omega-3 polyunsaturated fats. I'm not counting that. So of all of the different categories of fats, the saturated fats, the monounsaturated fats, you want to get about 3 to 5 tablespoons of those in daily. So the amount of calories, here's how I came to that. The amount of calories in each type of fat is going to vary, but it's around 100 calories per tablespoon. So 3 to 5 tablespoons is going to give you around 300 to 500 calories, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. For an average child, that's probably somewhere in the range of 30% of their total calories, maybe a little bit less, but it's going to be topped up with the fats that they're getting from their food. So that's for you number crunchers out there. A practical way of thinking about this is just to make sure they're having some fatty foods every day and make sure they're getting between 3 and 5 tablespoons of the fats we've talked about, and that you're not relying on one type of cooking fat for everything. So to keep things simple, here's what my kitchen looks like. I use coconut oil, avocado oil, red palm oil for cooking and for baking. I use MCT oil, olive oil, sesame oil, and flax oils for drizzling on top of foods, depending on the kind of flavor that I want, and I just sort of rotate through them to make sure that they're getting a little bit of everything. We also use a little bit of butter and a little bit of ghee. So I aim to get about 3 to 5 tablespoons of a variety of those fats. So it might be 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, 1 tablespoon of MCT, 1 tablespoon of olive, 1 tablespoon of butter, or something like that, right? Don't stress too much about specifics. Just use this as a general gauge. I also give my kids fish oil as a supplement, and that's just to make sure they're getting the omega-3s, but I don't count that as part of the 3 to 5 tablespoons. Now, this is probably more fat than you're used to. Maybe you've never considered how much fat your child eats. So the first thing to do is take stock of what they're getting in a typical day, right? And if they're really not getting much at all, make sure you start slowly as you increase it. So don't go right to, 5 tablespoons a day. Start with 1 extra tablespoon a day and see how they tolerate it. Then move to 2, maybe 1 tablespoon of one kind and 1 tablespoon of another kind. So gradually increase it, because aside from the MCT that we talked about, which is quite easy to digest, fat is not the easiest thing to digest and absorb. So if you're going to increase it, you want to do that slowly and you want to make sure it's getting digested well. A lot of kids have trouble with digestion to start with, right? They may be constipated or bloated or have tummy pain. You don't want to make matters worse. So that's important to keep an eye on as you increase the fats. And it's really important to figure out, because as we started off with, fats are really important to the body's function. So, and structure. So what does poor digestion of fat look like? How do you know if your child isn't digesting their fat well? Well, it can show up as all kinds of things, because remember, fat contributes to the health of every cell. So it's an important component in every body system. But here are some common symptoms that I see that make me wonder about fat digestion. Digestive issues like constipation, tummy pain, reflux, nausea, especially as you increase it, these things getting worse. That can often mean that fat's not being digested well. Skin and nail issues like cracked and flaking and soft nails or hair falling out. Now your hair will always fall out, but more than what is normal. Or failing to grow. Dry hair, dry skin, dry nails, flaky skin, eczema, bumps on the skin. This can often also show us, or give us pause to think about whether fat's being digested well. Also, neurological things. Remember that the brain is 60% fat, right? So poor focus and poor memory or slow memory or irritability or ADHD, explosive behaviors, those sorts of things can tell us that the brain is not being sufficiently nourished with fat. And then lastly, weight loss or inability to put on weight, no matter what you do with diet, that can also be a fat absorption issue. It can also be a general nutrient absorption issue, something to look into. So start by trying to get more fats into your kids. And if it's not working or you're starting to wonder whether they are absorbing these, then you can ask your doctor to test for fatty acids in the stool or metabolites in the urine that can tell you if fat is being used well. If your child gets constipated or feels nauseous as you increase fats, if they start to have really greasy textured stools, if your child has no gallbladder, then you're going to want to add in some digestive support, and that's a little bit more targeted. So I highly suggest you get some support with this. Reach out to me. I can help direct you. We want to make sure that what you're doing is right for your child. So we've covered a lot so far, but there are 3 more really quick topics I want to cover. Fats to avoid, how to store them, and then what to look for in terms of quality. I generally suggest that we all avoid vegetable oil, corn oil, canola oil, palm kernel oil, which is different from red palm oil that I mentioned, soy oil, hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils, or esterified oils. And the simple reason to avoid these is that they don't add to our project of nourishing the cells. What the cells need are fatty acids, polyunsaturated fatty acids, and monounsaturated fatty acids. These oils that I just listed are generally poorer quality. They might have gone through a chemical extraction process. They often have gone through a chemical extraction process, so there's chemical residue in them. They might contain free radicals and trans fats because of the, how they were processed or refined or stored. They're just not helpful, and there are better choices. In terms of storage, heat, light, and oxygen make oils go rancid. So keep that in mind always. Heat, light, and oxygen. So you want to store your cooking oils away from heat, so not sitting on the counter right next to the hot stove. You want them away from light, so again, not sitting out on the counter. You want them in a cupboard or in the fridge. And you want them in a nice closed bottle. So I don't suggest using those dripper bottles that are open to the oxygen. So store them in somewhere that's cool, dark, and in a tight container. I keep mine in a drawer near my stove, but not right next to it. You can also keep them in the fridge. So in terms of quality, last thing that we'll talk about is that fat is a place that it's worth spending a little extra money for quality. When it comes to animal fats, like butter and ghee, we need to always remember that toxins accumulate in fat. So any toxins that the animal was exposed to, whether that was internally generated because it wasn't a healthy animal or because it was eating food laced with pesticides, the fat will have accumulated all of that. So for butter and ghee, if you can, it's worth going organic, and grass-fed is even better. In terms of the vegetable oils like olive or coconut or sesame, you want to choose one that has been filtered and tested for chemicals. You want to choose one that's non-GMO. And again, organic is best if you can. A cold press process is always better because remember, heat, light, and oxygen are the three things that are going to make the oil go rancid. So make sure that it's been either tested for chemicals and has gone through a process. The processing of it is one that has been carefully considered and that doesn't require high heat or chemical extraction. So there you have it. That's it for this little mini training. We covered a lot. So if you're new to the power of food, welcome to my world. I hope this has given you a little glimpse into how even small changes in your kitchen can make big changes in the body, because you're taking steps to nourish cells better. And it's a really exciting new toolbox to learn about. So maybe all you've learned here is just to store your fats a little bit differently, or use a variety of fats instead of one for everything. Or switch up how you choose fats in the grocery store. All of those little decisions, or maybe it's getting more fats into your kids. Maybe you've been getting the right fats into them, but not enough. All those little decisions are gonna make a huge impact on your child's health, because all of our cells require good fat. If you've been at this for a while and you've made a lot of improvements for your children's diet, that's awesome. Keep going. I hope this refocuses you in on something that really often gets neglected. Are they getting enough quality fats, and are they absorbing those fats? It's really basic, but it's really, really important. So that's all for now. As always, I am wishing you and your family vibrant health.